listening to On the Same Page, a podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Welcome back to another episode of On the Same Page. We are your hosts. I'm Abby.
And I'm also Abby. We're librarians at the Central Library.
In this episode, we'll talk about some upcoming programs and go over a few of our favorite reads of the year.
But before we get to that, we've got book chat. Okay, book chat. Abby, what do you have for us this week?
I read High Fire by Owen Colfer, who's perhaps most well known for his YA series, Artemis Fowl. And this is his most recent book, which came out at the beginning of 2020. It's written for adults. I believe it's his first adult book. But like most of his other works, it's fantasy, but almost urban fantasy. This one features a dragon named Vern, who is hiding out in a little hut on a small island in a Louisiana bayou. It's told from multiple perspectives. We have Vern the dragon, Constable Hook, who is a dirty cop, and a young Cajun teen everyone calls Squib because he had an unfortunate event or experience trying to catfish with dynamite. Anyway, Squib has the bad luck to cross both of the other narrators, Vern and Constable Hook. I will say at first, I was a bit surprised at Colfer's choice to place a book where he did with this one, just because I'm not sure how well an Irish author who, based on what I can tell, has always lived in Ireland, could really bring a Louisiana swamp to life. It's clear though that he did his research, and as a reader who has never lived in Louisiana and has no ties, you know, no Cajun family or anybody really who I know who's lived in a bayou, it feels real to me, so I might not be the best judge, but he seemed to have pulled it off. So yeah, so he says he placed it there because he imagined if a dragon was hiding out, trying to remain anonymous as what he believes himself to be the last dragon alive, Colfer imagines he would live somewhere where there are other animals that look like him. So we're thinking alligators, right? Which makes cool. The swampy southern United States the perfect place to put him. So anyway, we follow Vern. Well, Vern's not all that exciting at first. When we meet him, he's watching TV wearing one of his 15 identical Flashdance t-shirts. Not really living too large. But mostly we follow Squib through his run-ins with Constable Hook and with Vern. He ends up working out an arrangement with Vern. And as their kind of relationship to each other develops, the book takes on almost the feel of like a heist story. I don't want to get into too many of the details because I don't want to spoil the plot because it was a lot of fun. But it was an interesting story and fairly funny. I can't think of a lot of books that I've read that are like it. I think maybe it has a similar feel to like Neil Gaiman's American Gods, possibly Good Omens, which he did with Terry Pratchett. But otherwise, like not too much that I've read that's like this, other than maybe Artemis Fowl has a similar feel as well. But I think it would appeal to older teen readers and adults alike who like a little bit of fantasy. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That sounds good. I wonder if I would like it as someone who does not really like fantasy. I don't know. But that's cool to know. You said it's a little bit funny, which kind of segues into my book. Although I would say that my book is completely funny.
It's, oh, good.
Yeah. I read Food, A Love Story by Jim Gaffigan, kind of in honor of Thanksgiving. Are you familiar with Jim Gaffigan?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so for anyone who is not, Jim Gaffigan is a stand-up comedian / you know, actor, producer, writer, you know, all of those titles, but mostly a comedian. He does have 9 stand-up comedy specials, and he's written 2 books. So this one, Food, A Love Story, is from 2014. It's not a new book. But I decided to read it because I love his style. He jokes, his jokes are personable and personal to him. They're also relatable. He talks about family and his fatherhood. One of his recurring topics is that he lives in a small New York City apartment with 5 small children. When he was joking about it, he used to say it was like a 1 or 2 bedroom apartment, although I suspect from his YouTube channel that it's a little bit updated since then. He's also a very self-deprecating comedian, especially about his weight. But he's generally considered clean and family friendly. There's very little foul language that I've ever noticed in it, or sexual innuendos or anything like that. And really until the Trump era, there was no politics. Now there is a little bit, but not like that's not family friendly, but just so you know. And he does, he jokes a lot about food, which is where Food, A Love Story, the book I read, kind of comes into the picture. So I enjoyed reading it. It was like rewatching some of his older stand-up routines. Like I mentioned, this is a book from 2014. So each chapter is short and sweet. Each one reads kind of like an extended joke. So it's the closest thing I would say that I've ever read to an adult joke book. It's because it's not a narrative, you know, there's no real story, but it's just a book of observations and wisecracks, musings about food and the people who eat it, how it makes us feel, what it makes us do. So it was a great book to pick up kind of on multiple occasions and just read a little bit here and there, because it wasn't a book that you would sit down and read in one sitting. It's not like a page turner, you know, as funny as it is, it's not, it doesn't compel you because it's not really a story. But something I just wanted to mention, if you are looking for more of kind of a memoir, I also last year I read a book written by his wife, When Life Gives You Pears. So that's by Jeannie Gaffigan. And it's Jeannie's memoir about a pear-sized tumor that was found in her brain. And I really enjoyed that book as well because it was classic Gaffigan humor, because Jim and Jeannie collaborate a lot, so they have a similar voice. But it was also a fascinating story about her kind of medical journey. And it was neat because we got to see Jim Gaffigan from another point of view. So anyone who has watched Jim's stand-up or read his books, I guess, knows that he talks about himself a lot, but it's him talking and joking about himself. So for once, we were able to kind of shift the scene and see someone else. Of course, it's his wife, but still we get a different perspective and kind of a new revealing aspect of his character and what he's almost like, what he's really like in some way. So that was part of the book that I really enjoyed. But both books I would recommend, just depending on kind of what mood you're looking for. When Life Gives You Pears, kind of being the more funny but also serious medical memoir. And then Food, A Love Story, just being a straight up kind of comedy joke book about food, which was just fun and satisfying, especially around Thanksgiving. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, that seems like a great pick for the entire holiday season, especially when, you know, people are adapting to the holidays might still be centered around food, but less and less so with people coming together. So I think maybe something light like that can kind of help offset that, how much harder I think the holiday season is for a lot of people this year. So yeah, that's great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Next, we'll preview some upcoming programs.
Coming up next Wednesday, December 9th, we've got Ask a Genealogist, a virtual genealogy program. If you have a question about your family history research, or you've hit your brick wall and need some fresh ideas or places to look, Dr. Shelley Murphy, a genealogist and the Descendant Project researcher at the University of Virginia, will answer your genealogy questions. With over 25 years of experience and knowledge, Dr. Murphy is known for her interactive and inspiring strategies and methods for genealogical research. Whether you're a longtime researcher or a novice genealogist, Dr. Murphy's expertise can send you in the right direction. Submit your questions to library at albemarlehistory.org before the webinar. The webinar is presented in partnership with the Albemarle Charlottesville Historical Society. This is a virtual program that you'll be able to access either by Zoom or by a toll-free telephone number, and we will include a link to sign up for it in our show notes.
That sounds great, Abby. Thanks for letting us know about that program. And I know last time we did it, it was a big hit, and everyone really got a lot out of it. So
definitely, Dr. Murphy is she's a real treasure.
Yeah. We also have something a little different coming up next Saturday, which is December 12th at 1 p.m. It's a baking workshop. So we will be making vegan holiday baking. It's sticky toffee cake. This will be presented by Cecilia Baum. She'll get you ready for winter holiday baking. Sticky toffee pudding cake, for those of you who watch the Great British Bake Off, it is a classic British dessert. It's perfect for your holiday celebrations or if you're looking for a quiet, cozy night at home. In this class, we're going to learn how to make that delicious, dark, moist sponge cake and the sweet toffee sauce. The recipe is vegan. We will also be offering options to make it gluten-free if needed. In addition, this program doesn't require any special fancy kitchen gadgets. You don't even need the Bundt cake pan. And all of the ingredients are relatively easy, straightforward. They're not difficult to purchase or super expensive. So it's a virtual program and it can be accessed by Zoom online, or you can also call a toll-free phone number. We'll include the link to sign up in our show notes.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so good. And it's making me so hungry.
Yes. I personally am doing the Zoom facilitating for that program, and I can't wait to make myself cake.
Oh, great. Excited. You're going to have to keep like a personal recording of it for later.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Next up, we'll talk about our favorite books that we read this year. Okay, so let's go over some of our favorite books that we read this year. That doesn't necessarily mean that they came out this year, just books that found their way into our hands this year that we enjoyed. So do you want to start us off with a couple, Abby?
Absolutely. So as some of our listeners may know, this year I spent the first half of this year pregnant and the second half of this year parenting for the first time, a newborn. So a lot of my books have to deal with that. And I wanted to talk about two books / authors that I read that kind of fall into the category of pregnancy and parenting books. The first one that I wanted to highlight was called The Fifth Trimester by Lauren Smith Brody. So typically, you know, your pregnancy is three trimesters. The fourth trimester is traditionally / typically thought of as the first 3 months of your baby's life. They're a newborn, you're a newborn parent, and you're just kind of in that foggy haze of trying to survive. But then Brody kind of takes this idea of what is the fifth trimester when you start to emerge from that fourth trimester fog. And it's all about going back to work. So I actually did read this book when I first started at Central, and it was a game changer for me. It was basically a lifesaver. It's basically part pep talk, part practical tips, and the whole thing is empowering all throughout. So one person's review on Amazon said, Brody's warm, witty perspective makes returning to work, which can be lonely and guilt-inducing, seem eminently doable. And I would wholeheartedly agree with that. So anyone going back to work, some of it is floofy stuff about style, which I have no style, but some of it is actually very, very deep and helpful for the big questions and the big issues. So The Fifth Trimester. And awesome. I also wanted to highlight Lucy Nisley. So you can help me with this, but I read two of her books and they were graphic novel format, but they were memoirs?
Yes.
Do we call that a graphic memoir or?
Yes, I am a big fan of the genre. And I think I have read at least one of the ones that you may be about to mention.
All right. Yeah, so I discovered her this year and I discovered this new genre of graphic memoir because I had never before read it. And I loved her books, Kid Gloves and also Go to Sleep, I Miss You. So Kid Gloves is her book about pregnancy, and then Go to Sleep, I Miss You is the book about her fourth trimester, basically, or just the early days of parenting a newborn. And I won't say too much about them because actually I would like to do them for a later book chat.
Excellent.
But basically those were two of my best books of the year, and I would recommend Lucy Nisley. Even though I've only read those two books of her, I am excited to read more. Especially I would recommend these for people who are new to the graphic novel or graphic memoir genre like I am, or maybe a little scared to jump in. Graphic stuff is not just about superheroes. So you can find some really great, relatable, real life topics and issues that you would find in your own life. So that's what I really appreciated. And I will talk more about them in a later book chat because I have more to say, but two favorites of the year.
I love that. Yeah, I absolutely love graphic memoirs. So if you need some recommendations for some other other reads that aren't like too comic-y looking, I am happy to provide those. That's awesome. I am breaking down, you know, my favorite reads of the year a little bit differently. I want to start with two that came out this year. Normally I read a lot of nonfiction, but I have found that this year has been, there's been enough like heavy content in the news that I've been steering away from it. So I'm just going to talk about my favorite books in adult fiction and young adult fiction. So I have one of each from this year that came out that I loved. And I'm not going to go really in depth with either one of them because I have mentioned both of them in previous book chats, but I can link to those in the show notes. My favorite young adult book that came out this year that I read and loved was A Song Below Water by Bethany C. Morrow, which is young adult urban fantasy with a storyline that really echoes the movement for Black Lives that has been very prominent this year and in years past, but more so this summer. And then also incorporates mythical figures like sirens and that sort of thing. So it was wonderful. Highly recommend. An incredible book. And then my favorite adult fiction book was The Resistors by Gish Jin. And that is, you know, set in the near future in a fully automated, hyper-segregated dystopian society, and then follows a teen girl who's a baseball prodigy, but also like kind of covers her family's ties to an underground resistance movement. Just great, very entertaining writing style for that one, and just exactly what I wanted to read.
That's good. I'm glad that you were able to escape into some books this year and get away from, or you had enough of the news, like you said, so you didn't have to.
Yeah, definitely
have some just kind of fun with the books this year. I have two YA / kid books also that I could talk about. So my favorite book that I read this year, even though it's a book for children, it was Pax by Sarah Pennypacker, and this is a book that I read at the beginning of the year. It's not a new book, it's a few years old, but I just read it this year, and it's about a boy and his fox. And one thing that I thought was really cool and unique about this book is that it almost has like an otherworldliness or a timelessness factor to it. One of the themes is war, but we don't know which war it is, or if it's even a real war. Like, it's not historical, it's not necessarily futuristic, it's not necessarily set in the present. It could kind of be set at any time and in any place. So it's really just almost feels universal, you know, in talking about war or broader, you know, violence and freedom. And of course, because it's about a boy and his fox, you know, there's all these questions about wild animals and, you know, what you can contain and what you can domesticate. But it's a great book. Like I said, I read it in January when the pregnancy hormones were high. So the beginning and the end of the book
had me sobbing. So if you're looking for a tearjerker, those two parts will get you. But the middle of the book is just also really fun. It has some quirky characters and quirky scenes and settings. And I would recommend it, especially for that aspect that I mentioned about kind of the otherworldliness. It's not, you can't place it exactly. And then another book I just wanted to highlight was Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo. She is my favorite YA author currently. And this was the book of hers that came out this year. So I read it, very excited. I had read The Poet X and With the Fire on High by her and loved them both. So this one was highly anticipated by me. And while I did enjoy it and would recommend it, I wouldn't necessarily call it one of my favorite books of the year. I thought the characters maybe could have been sharper or more memorable, but I'm still excited to read more from her. I can't wait for her next book. And I just wanted to highlight her in general as an author and direct our listeners to her because she's really great.
Definitely. On that YA note, I have a couple of other YA books that I read this year. And they're still fairly new. They're from the last few years, but they didn't come out this year. But I just really enjoyed them. And the first one I'll mention is In Other Lands by Sarah Reese Brennan. And so this is a YA fantasy, and it follows this trio of friends. They don't really start out as friends, but they're really the core of this book. They're all misfits in their own ways. Mainly it's told from Elliot's perspective, and he has come from like our world and crossed over into the Borderlands, which is this kind of fantasy world where the others are from. And they are in a school for warriors and like political advisors in training. And so it follows their entire follows their entire term in the school, right? So it's over a series of years, and the whole time it's funny, it's irreverent, at times it's surprising. One of his friends is an elf, and she, in elven society, their women hold all of the roles that like men traditionally hold, right, in most human societies, and her elven, I guess, femininity is like very much, it's just like pitch perfect for toxic masculinity. So she's a really funny character, and they're just poking fun at like gender roles and things like that through the whole thing. So I love that. It was really entertaining. And then the other YA book that I read this year, and this is probably my favorite book of the year, is another fantasy. This was Pet by Ekweke Emezi. And this is, it's short, it's fairly dark. I think the main character is probably more like middle grade, but I feel like the content is maybe a little hard for middle grade. But it's set in this kind of utopian future society after revolution has created true equality. The criminal justice system, incarceration systems have been abolished. They've been replaced with community-based like reparative and restorative justice system. So it's really this like, the author is like setting up their utopian vision for society. And then there's this like sort of dark fantasy element that is there to kind of, you know, remind us that community takes work. You can't just like set it and forget it. but it's beautifully done. And I loved it. And anyone who was working in the building around the time when I read it, I am sure is sick of hearing about it, because I just, everywhere I went, I was like, you have to read this book. Let me read the first three pages to you. You need to read this now. And I just couldn't stop talking about it. This is my absolute favorite.
Award winner, right? I feel like that book probably won, if I'm remembering correctly, at least a few awards.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And this author has written adult fiction. This was their YA debut, and I wasn't expecting it to translate well because their adult fiction is very literary, and this was just, I was blown away.
Awesome, thank you. Yeah. My last two books that I thought that I would highlight for our yearly roundup are two books or authors that I read to my new baby, Brett, and I wanted to bring them in just for other parents who are looking for some fun picture books or just for fun. So I have to mention Baby Beluga or all of the Rafi books that you can sing. They are just a blast, and this is just a shout out and for singing to your baby. If you have a baby or a kid of any age, you should absolutely be singing to them because it's really great for their early literacy skills. It changes the way that you say the words and the place you way that you emphasize different syllables, so it helps them just to uncover language. But I love Baby Beluga, that's my favorite one. And then I also want to just do a shout out to the Pout Pout Fish books by Deborah Dyson. These are some great books that I had never even seen until somebody gifted one to me for my baby shower, the original Pout Pout book. And my husband and I just really fell in love with these picture books. Our daughter is honestly too young to differentiate between books. She loves them all, but we have a special place in our heart for the Pout Pout books because they have an excellent rhythm, the rhymes are really fun, and the pictures are so clever. They're witty, they're funny, the characters are great. I mean, they're all sea creatures, but they have little personalities, and you can just tell it's one of those picture books that the parents can get a lot out of as well and just kind of have fun with. And there are friendly messages, of course. There's a book about bullying, and there's a book about, you know, giving gifts from the heart for the holiday season. And so it's a great, it's not a series per se, but like many picture books, she has a number of Pout Pout Fish books with Mr. Fish, the character. So I would recommend those.
Excellent. Those sound wonderful. Gonna have to read those the next time we've got a slow day on the desk.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have two more also, and these are just two other adult fiction books that I read this year that I really enjoyed, and they're from the past couple of years. And as I'm looking at my list, I'm realizing every one of the adult fiction books I'm mentioning is some sort of dystopian and or apocalyptic story. So, I mean, I'm not really sorry. That's just what I read, but, you know, worth mentioning that I do see that. So the first one that I really enjoyed was Moon of the Crusted Snow by Wogeshig Rice, and it's a short apocalyptic novel that takes place in an Ojibwe community in the far north. Climate change brings a particularly bad winter with loss of power and utilities, but because the storms are so bad, it sort of masks the fact that there's masks the signs of societal collapse down south in the major Canadian cities. So that was a really interesting one. And then the other one that I really loved was Trinity Site by Jennifer Givan. This one, another apocalyptic story, but it's blended with indigenous oral histories and stories. So the main character is this anthropologist. She's gotta be close to nine months pregnant with twins, and suddenly finds herself alone. The New Mexican landscape is kind of shifting around her. Long dormant volcanoes, right, from probably eons ago, I don't know, are erupting, and mythical monsters are beginning to appear. So it's this very kind of cool blending of the apocalyptic story and indigenous, almost creation myths, I think, are kind of woven together.
Wow. So you got your fair share of doom, in your fiction.
Yes,
and definitely. Even in the ones you say are fun. Yes. Some end of the world stuff going on there.
Always. I will always find the end of the world in my books.
But it can be fun. And especially if it's the end of the world in a different way than, you know, it puts you somewhere else, you know, in New Mexico landscape or the far north or volcanoes. Just gives you another way to contemplate the world ending, which is fun.
It is for some of us.
Oh. At the time of this recording, JMRL is currently offering contactless curbside pickup for books at all branches Monday through Saturday, as well as Sunday at the Central Library. Limited in-person services are available in Greene, Louisa, and Nelson County branches, as well as those in Crozet and Scottsville. Hours vary by branch, so we'll link to further information about hours and procedures in our show notes. Please note that it might take longer than normal for your items to be ready to pick up, so we appreciate your patience while we continue to prioritize the safety and well-being of patrons and staff.
This podcast is made possible through generous support from the Friends of the Library. If you'd like to learn more or join the Friends, please head to their website at jmrlfriends.org. Also, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast. If you have books that you'd like for us to read and discuss, or topics that you'd like to hear on a future episode, please email us at podcast@jmrl.org.
That's all for us today. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more content. Thanks for tuning in, and we're glad to be on the same page.